My name is Rusty Mackey, and you're listening to The Art of Stability. Hello, friends, and thank you for joining me today where I am talking with Ted Wiesty. Ted is the director of the Spiritual Formation Society of Arizona. He's an author, a teacher, and a spiritual director. He is also one of the primary faculty of the Spiritual Direction Program that I am a graduate of. But most importantly, Ted is just a great guy. In today's episode, we talk about embodying a relaxed and non-anxious presence, about preparing to suffer, and ultimately about surrendering to the reality that God holds our lives in His hands. So if you're in a season of suffering or walking with someone who is, this episode is absolutely for you. So stay with us and enjoy This Is What We're Doing with Ted Wiesty. Ted, one of the things that I like doing at the start of the show is basically pointing out something that I see that I value in the person that I'm talking with. And as I was thinking through what I valued in you, about you, I actually had a bit of a hard time putting my finger on it, you know, the enigma that is Ted, right?
And I thought you were gonna, I really had them coming up with something at all.
No, I was like, what's the word? Like, it's like this ambiguous word floating around. I don't know if I've even nailed it yet, but here are some of the words that came to mind. As I've observed you and how you do your work and how you interact with people and how you teach, there's this posture that I sense in you. And the word let it be came to mind at first. And I was like, well, what does that mean? And, you know, really like this open-handed posture with your work, with relationships, this non-controlling posture, that word came to mind. And I'm batting all this around. I'm like, that's still not it. I think the closest word that I came to is I sense a relaxed posture in you. And that's very enjoyable to be around, you know, that you're not trying to force something to happen, but you're just letting whatever happens happen. So I'd love to start out today and find out, is there a story behind that? Have you always naturally been a relaxed, go with the flow kind of guy, or were there some moments in your life that shaped and formed you in that direction?
Wow. Well, I really take that as a compliment, Rusty. That means a lot that you share that. You know, I think in some ways by temperament, I do have a little bit of go with the flow in me. Mm-hmm. And yet, I don't think that's necessarily always protected me from wanting to control things or being anxious about things or whatever. So I think a lot of it is just the Lord's good, gracious, unfolding work in my life, you know? And probably that word unfolding is just a really big word for me that the Lord has been, I guess, speaking to me about, shaping to me, especially the last handful of years, that His love is unfolding something. And so much of what I'm invited into is participating and watching and waiting for what He's unfolding and for what will be. And so I think years ago, I would have definitely been able to, you know, give you chapter and verse and all the theological underpinnings of the idea that God was sovereign. And I think that's a lot bigger concept and a lot more nuanced concept than I probably would have thought about before. But I think there's something about God's involvement and presence that sometimes you might use the word sovereign for, that can really just deepen this awareness that we can live kind of a relaxed, non-anxious way.
And I love it that you're bringing that up alongside this word unfolding and mentioning the patience and the trusting and the waiting on the Lord to do it. I mean, even that posture in and of itself of waiting on Him to unfold it, then kind of loosens some of the need that we can feel to control and grasp and make things happen, right?
Yeah. I think when you look at the Gospels and you look at Jesus, he was a non-anxious presence. He wasn't, you know, running around trying to meet every single need. He wasn't reactive. He was slow and deliberate in how he engaged. And certainly he knew that there was something unfolding. That was clear throughout his whole public ministry, but you never saw him trying to force anything. He was aware of the unfolding and lived with that awareness in a way that he could live into the story that the Father was leading him through. So I hope that that's true for all of us as followers of Jesus, is that increasingly over time we become more and more relaxed because we're following someone who's relaxed in that way.
Yeah. You know, when I hear the word unfold, for me, there's almost this idea of there's something already there and it's coming to fruition. You know, the unfolding is almost like revealing something that's there. Do you understand the word in that way, or are you nuancing it a little differently?
Well, when you ask the question that way, I would say that I very much believe, and I think I would even say I know that God is present and involved and at work in our lives all the time. Mm. And I think maybe early in my walk with Christ, I probably had a little bit of a posture of, well, I've got to make something happen, or I've got to get God to interact with me in a certain way or whatever. And I think now my theology would very much be that God is present. He is at work. He is loving me. All of this is very active and it's happening. And so that's, to put it in the terms of what you were saying, that's what's there.
Yeah.
And it's his presence and his love, his good work in my life that is happening. And it's taking me somewhere. And so I think that feels like a different posture than, okay, I've got to try to live a certain way and I need God to help me do it. So yeah, I think I would see it in that sort of way.
It's really more of a receiving posture, back to the word I used earlier, an open-handed posture. And it just makes me think part of what then is unfolding is, yes, circumstances, but maybe even more so just our awareness of the Lord, our noticing of, oh yeah, you're, you know, back in the earlier part of your life when you felt like you need to make things happen for God to do something, it's not that God wasn't active, right? It's just that your awareness wasn't there. And so now there's this unfolding of, oh, there you are. Oh, I see you more clearly. Well, I think in terms of experiencing God and being aware of his nearness, for most folks, that's a lot easier to do when things are going well, but it can be challenging when difficulties come, right? To maybe see as clearly in those moments where the fog settles. So would you be willing to share with us a story of a time of instability in your life where the fog settled and it was a challenging season? And what was it like to navigate that season?
Well, there's part of me that I kind of think, well, which season do you want me to talk about? There's been, I think what I'll throw out there is certainly very related to, if there's any sense in which you see any sort of open-handedness to me, and I'm glad that you see some of that. I hope that's true. I think a lot of it's related to challenging things that I've walked through. And I've seen the Lord hold me in times where I was absolutely helpless. And that's probably, starting in the fall of 2017, when I was diagnosed with cancer and went through a year of treatment, and then the cancer came back and then had to do another 4 months of treatment and developed another form of cancer on top of the one that I had. And it was, there was a couple of times where didn't know if I was going to make it, where I had to be in the ICU and they were just trying to save my life. And to watch God hold me during those times and to see him provide for me during those times, I would say that I came out of, and there's a lot of stories I could tell, but I would say I came out of that whole journey with a deep sense of knowing that God was holding my life, a deep sense of knowing that he was with me, knowing that he was providing for me. And that felt like a big shift for me. I would say almost beyond saying I believe in God. Well, I just know God's there. Like I don't believe there's air that I'm breathing in my lungs. I just know it's there and it's interacting. And I kind of feel like that, like the Lord took me to some really vulnerable places. In that vulnerability, found him to be so present and so near and so real. And so I think I was also very aware that the Lord had been preparing me for all of that.
Interesting.
So in some ways I was ready to walk through some really dark places and to do it with the Lord and to know that the Lord had not abandoned me. I mean, his promise of life and eternal life, was never so real as when, you know, I meet with the oncologist and I had just been diagnosed with the second kind of cancer. And she looks at me and says, well, you're gonna have to be admitted to the hospital. And I go, okay, well, when? She was like right now, we're starting chemo tonight. And I was like, oh, okay, well, all right, you know? And so what happens if I don't do that? You know, she goes, well, we'll just try to make you comfortable. And I was like, oh, I could have been gone in 3 weeks. I can just say I feel incredibly grateful that the Lord met me in those spaces, and you know, many sleepless nights and nights where I just was in pain or whatever else, and just knowing the Lord's nearness. And so I don't know. I feel like I was just rambling, but and I'm not sure I answered your question, but that's what kind of came to mind.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that part of your story. And yeah, I was aware of you having cancer in the past, but some of the additional, and then it came back, and then there was a whole nother type, you know, I didn't realize the layers of it. And so that, wow, I'm grateful as well that you're here with us and able to share your story today. Yeah. Ed, as you think back to some of those moments of, you know, you mentioned just being helpless, use the word vulnerable. I mean, I'm sure in your mind, you think this too, but I just think in our weakness, Christ is made strong, you know, and just the beauty of the gospel that you really tasted and saw in the brutality and in the pain of that moment. So as you think back to God holding you, what was that like? What was it like between you and the Lord in those moments of helplessness and vulnerability to feel held by him?
Oh, wow. You know, there's a song and it's escaping me right now, but I think it's like a Chris Tomlin song. And it says something like, you know, they talk about how great you are, but I have 1,000 stories, you know? And there's a line in there that talks about there's 1,000 stories from the middle of the night or something like that. I'm totally butchering the song.
Sure.
you know, so I just made it up in my head. It's not even a real song.
But, that's right. You wrote it.
but that's what I kind of feel like is the Lord was taking me from a place of being able to say things about who he was to experiencing them in the moment where, when I was just so vulnerable, whether I was going through chemo or when I was having a bone marrow transplant, and I couldn't do anything, you know, I couldn't work. I couldn't take care of myself. I couldn't bathe myself. I had a period of time where my wife, every afternoon in the hospital, would come up and help me basically bathe. And, you know, she would help me get to the shower, you know, with 8 wires coming out of me and the little IV pole. And I felt the Lord's nearness in that. So I think it was often as I interacted with other people, but it was also in just the quiet moment of, I've got nothing. I may not make it. At one point, the chemo was so harsh. I went into heart failure. And I just remember telling the doctor, I was like, I don't know what, you know, I'm getting chemo. I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I can't breathe. I can't. And, you know, they take me to the ICU and poke 4 holes in me and do all this stuff. And just to lay in that bed and realize my life is in His hands. And I think I had become used to connecting with God through just listening, abiding prayer, where I could just be with Him and just sense and know His presence, that in those times, it was like all the things that I experienced before, but on times 10. And I think, you know, you referenced that verse that when we're weak, He is strong. It sounds really good on paper. And we know it's true, but I think sometimes until you're in a place of you have nothing, there's not any strength you have, there's always maybe a little bit of strength you're holding on to with something else, you know? And so the severe mercy of being in such a vulnerable place is that the Lord uses that space to strip you of any strength. Yeah. And so the experience of His strength and His presence just becomes amplified. You know, to go back to that word sovereignty, how sovereignty and suffering and our choices and all that fit together are a mystery. And yet I do know that God, in His mercy, uses the sufferings, you know, right, to strip us, to shape things in us that just wouldn't happen in any other context.
What a powerful story of God stripping. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I want to say as Christians in the evangelical, greater, broader church world, maybe it's just a human thing, though. We so gravitate towards strength. We so gravitate towards engagement and doing, and we feel good. We gravitate towards feeling good, right? And yet we know that there's this deep kingdom principle that the way up is down, that, you know, unless the seed falls into the ground and dies, it won't bear fruit. Like, we know these things. And so I'm thinking of just folks who they haven't experienced that level of suffering. You talked about it being the severe mercy that the Lord, like, you didn't have a choice. There was no strength to cling to. I'm sitting here thinking about the folks who are listening, who they have suffering in their life, but it's not to that extent. And they want to let go. They want to embrace their weakness so that Christ can be strong. But that's so hard to navigate, right? To the point where we're not relishing in suffering, or we're not like trying to make suffering happen so that we can have that moment with Jesus. But then also there's stuff in us that wants to cling to the strength over the weakness and the vulnerability. So Ted, you're a spiritual director. You walk with folks through the hard stuff of life all the time. How would you encourage someone who's wanting to navigate that letting go, and they're wanting to do that in a way that honors Jesus, but they're just like, I don't really even have a clue of how to do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And if there was a formula for how to do that, we'd bottle it up and sell it, you know, in all of our churches. The reality is there's not a real clear way to say this is how it works. I think it ends up being a choice that we make. when we're confronted with it. You know, no matter where we are, we've never completely let go of self-reliance. You know, I think the best hope is that increasingly we're relying on ourselves less and less and less. Increasingly, we are letting ourselves die, dying to self and following Jesus in that way. And so I think a huge part of it, though, is being prepared to suffer and knowing that it's coming. Because one of the things that I see most often is that people go through a difficult time and they're like, well, wait a second. This wasn't in the brochure. You know, when I signed up to follow Jesus or however, you know, it's like, wait a second, that's not part of the deal. And it's certainly a very American thing because we always believe you can buy your way out of anything. You can move your way away from anything. I mean, just we have all the resources. And yet when you look at the scriptures and especially the New Testament, like every page is talking about suffering and being prepared to suffer, being prepared to die. And not just because in the first century people were suffering martyrdom. There's obviously a bigger theological invitation with all of that. I think that's a huge piece, is that when suffering comes upon us, to not be surprised.
Yeah.
To say, okay, Lord, I can remember really clearly when I was diagnosed with cancer that first year. I did outpatient chemotherapy. I had Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is like a 90 something percent success rate if you just go through the 6 months of chemotherapy. And so, you know, it knocked me out pretty good, lost all my hair. I was sick, you know, all the time, a lot of sleepless nights, but I got through the 6 months. And it looked like, you know, things were okay. We walked through this. And it was a month and a half later that they did a scan and they said, well, it's come back. And I remember so clearly, I had just stepped off staff at a church with a salary that summer and was moving into a ministry where I was raising funds. I was like, really, Lord, is this what we're doing? And I felt like he said, yeah, this is what we're doing. And okay. I mean, all right, Lord, if this is what we're doing. And I don't mean to oversimplify it. There were tears. There were,
of course.
Lord, I think I really came to terms with, I was ready. I was ready to die. But Lord, I don't want this for my wife and kids. I don't want this to be their story. My life, I'm ready. I can remember that multiple times, saying, Lord, you've given me a good life. I've lived a great life. I have, you know, at that point I was 48. I have nothing to complain about. I am grateful, but I don't want my kids, my wife, to have to walk through losing their husband and dad. So that was my only prayer, honestly, through that whole time. But when it came to that fall, when I was back, going to be back in the hospital doing more chemo and moving towards a transplant, I was just like, Lord, really? Is this it? Is this? And he's like, yeah. And then I had a time where I was hospitalized for, I think it was 49 days in a row. And in the first part of 2019, I was in the hospital more than I was at home over that time. I think I was hospitalized either five or six times. And I just had, the Lord just really gave me a sense of, yeah, this is what we're doing. This is, you know, and I thought, well, okay, well, my life is not my own. So if you say this is what we're doing, then let's do it. We'll walk through it together. And so I just had a sense that my life and my ministry was about being in that hospital room. And it was like, I would rather be in a different office to do my life in ministry, but if my office is going to be this little room, then this is what we're doing. And so I wouldn't wish all that stuff that I went through on anybody, but I wouldn't trade it for the world, because the kind of conversations you have with God when you're walking through that kind of stuff, it was just so clarifying. And I felt like in that whole process, he was saying to me, I want you to know very clearly who is in charge of your life. And you're stepping out in faith to raise money, to leave this ministry that I've led you into, and you have no ability to do it right now. And then I was leading this ministry. The volunteer team stepped up to lead for 6 months, and the ministry thrived in my absence. And it was like the Lord was just so kindly saying to me, see, this is not about you. It's not about your strength. It's not about any of that stuff. I'm holding it all. And right now, we're in the hospital. That's what we're doing. I think my encouragement would be that we need to be prepared to suffer. It's going to happen. When I was pastoring full-time and in the pulpit every week, I would often say to people, get ready to suffer. Or we talk about suffering. I say, if you feel like you haven't suffered much in life, just wait, because it's coming. You're going to go through difficult things. You know, you're going to lose someone close to you. You're going to go through serious illness. There's going to be difficult things. And so I think one of the worst things we do is I think we often give people this idea that if you trust Jesus, everything's going to be all right. Now, the truth is, when you walk with Jesus, everything is all right. I believe that. But it's not all right in, like, you know, cotton candy and rainbow kind That's of right. everything. Right? There's a deep, deep reality that we enter into when we walk through suffering with him. And I think that's just another piece of it is it is with him. It's not something that's outside how he's present and how he works in our lives.
Yeah, that with him piece was just resonating for me as you were sharing, and the Lord, is this what we're doing? Yeah, this is what we're doing, you know, and that plural we, this is what we are doing together, just really struck me. And how often when we're surprised by suffering, like, there's a whole level of work to do to get through the surprise of the suffering that then allows you to even get to the reality of, oh, like, we're in this, me and Jesus together. Yeah. And so I love that refrain and what you shared. And you mentioned earlier you had been already entering into some listening and abiding prayer, you know, so that just comes to mind for me as a great way to prepare for suffering. Here's some time where I'm going to every day sit in stillness and not do, but I'm just going to receive and I'm going to let go. And I'm going to, you know, so as Dallas Willard says, those disciplines of abstinence, right? Where we're abstaining from the doing just to be with the Lord. Yeah, so beautiful. Thank you again for sharing. What a beautiful challenge for all of us.
Yeah, no, that's good. I think those disciplines of abstinence are a chosen suffering. Like fast, for example, lots of suffering that you're choosing and it's preparing you. And I think the other thing I just throw in there is, as far as being prepared for the difficult times, what's often more difficult than the situation itself is this question of, well, why, Lord, why is this happening? And we can get so stuck in that place.
Yeah.
But if we can come into whatever's happening in life of saying, well, suffering is a part of the deal and it's what's going to happen. And in one sense, there's no answer to that question of why. And on the other hand, the why is because we don't grow and deepen in our life with God any other way.
That's right. That's right. And the why is Jesus saying, if your master suffers, then you too will suffer. Oh, so good. Well, Ted, I'm curious, you know, we talked a little bit about disciplines. What are some practices that you're doing right now that are enabling you and creating space for you to just enjoy Jesus?
Wow. Well, maybe two things. One is I keep a prayer journal, and I have since I was probably my late teens. It's just a daily, I've got my journal, and it's a place to just write out what I'm experiencing, what I'm noticing as a prayer. It's always expressed that way. And what I've added over the last year, I would say, is a space where I just stop in the middle of the page and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? Mm. And so I just listen and try to be attentive to what the Lord is speaking into my day or just what I'm experiencing at that moment or whatever it might be. And it feels like the Lord is really faithful to be with me in those spaces and to usually bring something to my awareness. And sometimes it's pretty specific, might be pretty strong. Other times it's just him bringing up the same things we've been talking about for 6 months, you know, and like, hey, don't forget, you know, and it'll be some themes. The Lord seems like he's always very graciously persistent with things. And so that's been a big thing for me. I'd say the other thing for me has been taking care of my body. I've been through so much over the last handful of years. I'm still on a lot of medication, still dealing with something they call graft versus host disease, where I'll probably have that the rest of my life because the new cells that were put in my body sometimes don't want to play nice with the rest. And so it's like I've got this friend that I have with me all the time who saved my life because I got these new cells that reset my system to deal with the leukemia and the lymphoma. But my friend is always there kind of poking around. And so taking care of my body is a huge, huge discipline and something that, you know, my younger years, I just probably took for granted in a way. And so I feel like it creates a lot of space for me because the better I'm feeling, the more alert I can be. It can help with attentiveness, you know, and certainly deepen the ways of being with the Lord that I know he desires and I desire as well.
Yeah. I really appreciate you bringing up taking care of your body and kind of the implications of that. I mean, it's such common sense that we neglect all the time. If you get 2 hours of sleep, it will impact your soul the next day. Like, you will not be as alert. You'll be grumpy. I mean, just the direct correlation to the truth of we're embodied souls. It makes so much sense, yet we constantly divorce our souls from our bodies. So I love how you teased out the implications of alertness and attentiveness. Is there a sense, Ted, in which you're able to enjoy Jesus in the taking care of your body, like in the actual moment, or is it more of just the byproduct is you get to enjoy Jesus more?
That's probably both and. I mean, I think maybe even throw in another element to it. I think that because I've looked across the table of death multiple times now, you don't know this part of my story. You know a little bit about cancer journey, but I don't think you know this part of it. But in November, I had a heart attack. And that was another one of those moments of like, you're looking across the table of death. And so what I really feel in paying attention to my body is really putting in the context of seeing it as a gift that I have for right now, because I don't know when my body's going to rebel. I don't know, you know, I had no idea I was going to have a heart attack. I didn't have heart problems. I wasn't dealing with heart disease or anything like that. That could be a whole nother discussion for another time. But I think I'm just very aware that my body is a gift that I need to steward for as long as I have it, because there'll come a day when my body will give out. So I think there's the being with the Lord and the stewarding of it, which is more just that daily awareness. And then I think, you know, when I'm exercising, I love to be outside. I do a lot of work like on a treadmill and stuff like that, especially as I'm doing some building of strength and some recovery work. But I love to be outside and just on a hike or, you know, a run or what, a walk or whatever. I really feel like I am experiencing the Lord in that. And then there's that third piece that you brought up too, is then it, as my body is in a good place and it's running on all cylinders, or at least as many cylinders as I've got, it does provide hopefully a better space for listening and attentiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you were sharing that, just the Psalm 90, Lord, teach us to number our days was coming to mind, and you know, how surprised we are by suffering, how much we avoid the idea of death. But what I'm hearing from you is, as I've stared across the table at death multiple times and not only come to grips with like, okay, suffering's part of the deal, but it sounds like also come to grips with death is part of the deal. And I'm going to steward my body for as long as I got. It sounds to me like that's actually opened you up to enjoy the Lord more in the present moment. Is that fair, Ted?
I hope so. I hope that's true. I think so. Honestly, I don't worry about a lot of stuff. You know, the old cliche about don't sweat the small stuff. It's all small stuff. It's like, that's a great little cliche, right? It's like, oh yeah. And you hear that and you go, yeah, yeah. And I feel like in a lot of ways, like I feel that. I really live that. Like, okay, what are you going to bring at me? The Lord holds my life. And you can't take me out of the Lord's hand. He holds me. He holds everything, including my life, my well-being, everything. And when my time is up, I'll be with him for all eternity. I do think it moves me out of spaces of anxiety, spaces of worrying about stuff for the most part. I mean, I still, you know, get drawn into things and whatever for sure. But I mean, I think to a large degree though, I don't get too worried about just the stuff of life.
Well, may that be the case for all of us. As you said earlier, may we all move one step by one step closer and closer towards that relaxed, non-anxious presence, because Jesus is relaxed and non-anxious. My friend, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Thank you for your ministry, but even more than that, thank you for who you are and giving us a glimpse more into your story and the ways that God has unfolded your story. Really grateful for you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening today. I hope you were as encouraged by this conversation as I was. And if so, would you consider sharing it with a friend or writing a review for the podcast? All of this helps others to hear these great conversations. If you want to get connected with Ted, check out the show notes to find his social media handles, as well as a website for his ministry. There you'll find regular retreats and resources to help you grow in your love for God. It amazes me how often leading others in a deepening relationship with God can actually become an obstacle to personally growing in your own love for Him. This is why I started the Leaders Toolbox newsletter. Sign up today at steadfastmin.com/newsletter. That's steadfastmin.com/newsletter to get weekly practices and tools to help you become a more grounded leader in today's shifting world. The Art of Stability is a production of Steadfast Ministries. It exists to help you stay grounded in Christ to lead with confidence and clarity. The cover art was created by Brian Bim. Music created and performed by Rob Main. And the music was recorded and produced by the Asterisk Company. Thank you for joining me, and I'll see you next time on The Art of Stability.